pray that the Lord help me relate what He's been giving me in this message tonight. I have a thought on my heart that's been thinking about it for quite some time now. Maybe a month or so. What is sacrifice? You know, when I think of sacrifice, I was a little bit surprised when I looked up the word, but it's basically a slaughter. The victim or the act of slaughtering. And it also means to giving up something valued for the sake of something else more valuable or important. Sometimes you might think of sacrifices as there's times when you might sacrifice money in order to purchase something that you value or you desire. You might sacrifice your time in order to earn money to buy something that's valuable. You may sacrifice your time for family or loved ones or friends. But it's usually you give up something in order to gain something that's more valuable. I was thinking about the Old Testament sacrifices. And what I thought about, and it doesn't necessarily say, but, you know, they had a system. If you sinned and you committed a transgression against your brother or against the Lord, you went and you gave a sacrifice. And I thought about it and I was thinking, you know, what if you were super rich and you had all the cattle you could think of? Is that really a sacrifice? Would there be a possibility that in their heart they might think, you know, it's no big deal, you know? I can do, you know, yeah, I messed up. Okay, here's another lamb, you know? Here's another sacrifice for you. But I think about that poor person who doesn't have a whole lot. That sacrifice is a real sacrifice. That might have been something that they could eat on for a while. And I just think about what their carefulness might have been as opposed to the one that had an abundance. And the reality of what a sacrifice really is. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. I really think this is a powerful few scriptures here. And no doubt there's a reason why it's here and the reason why the Lord pinpointed this specific woman. In verse 41, it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." I think of that in who sacrificed. Who really sacrificed? I mean, they had abundance. They gave. And don't get me wrong, that's valuable. It's valuable that they gave. And I don't think that the Lord was trying to diminish what they were giving in any way. But he was more bringing out what she had done. I can't even fathom that, really. She gave everything she had, which was very little. And I think about somebody being in that position and then in that circumstance. I mean, think about it yourself. You got one meal left. Do you give it all? I mean, just think of our frame of mind. Is that how we think? We got $1 left and we're ready to just find out who we could give it to? But it says that she had a great need. And I'm convinced that her need was met. I don't think the Lord went to the trouble of pointing this out to us to have her go away with a need still. I think the Lord saw what she did and saw her need and supplied her need over and above what she thought she needed. I believe the Lord blessed her exceedingly abundantly above whatever she could even think. You know, it reminds me again, similar story. You remember the prophet Elijah comes back after the famine. He's been fed by the ravens by the riverside and goes to a poor widow's house. Asks, what are you doing? Well, you know, I'm fixing to make myself and my son a little cake. It's the last we have. We're going to eat it and then we're going to die. And Elijah tells her, you know, make me a little cake first. Just make me a little something first. She's like, well, we're about to die. We're going to eat this and die. And he says, just make me a little one first, please. And I'll tell you that your meal and your oil will not fail. Until, I guess it was, rain came on the earth. She sacrificed. She went ahead and did it. And you know, the Lord blessed her that they were able to eat many days. I don't know how many days, but the word of the Lord did not fail. They ate many days on what was meant to be one more meal. And I have to say this because she sacrificed. She was willing to put Elijah first. And essentially, she was putting God first. Second Samuel, chapter 24. Verse 18. This is a story after, I believe it was after David counted the people. And there was a plague that was going to come. And the prophet Gad comes to him in verse 18 and says, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood, All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. How can I offer something to God? It costs me nothing, he says. How can it be considered a sacrifice if it costs us nothing? Is that really a sacrifice? If I take what belongs to someone else and offer it to God, is that a sacrifice or is it their sacrifice? David said, I can't do that. I can't offer unto God what costs me nothing. There's a sacrifice to be made. John 1:29 says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, God offered a sacrifice. Did it cost him nothing? You know, sometimes I think it's hard for us to really grasp what God gave for our sin. The sacrifice that he made. But he gives us a little light into it, in a sense. If we look in Genesis chapter 22, I'm not going to read it all. But it's a story of Abraham. Where God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only begotten son, your beloved son, the son of promise, the son that I promised you that was going to be your heir. All the blessings of God, all the promises of God to Abraham were encompassed in this son who was to be his heir. And God tells him, I want you to go and sacrifice Isaac on the mountain, Mount Moriah. And so Abraham, he gathers his things in the morning and he goes off to do it. I think it's a little easier for us to identify with Abraham in this sense. I can't imagine offering one of my sons, especially my only son, the son of my old age, the son that God promised would be the heir, that my seed would be as the sand of the sea, my everything. God asked him to offer it up. You don't think that took consecration on Abraham's part? A heart of pure trust in God and saying, you know, I know that God is faithful. I know he will not fail. Even if he has to raise my son up from the dead, I'm certain that God is going to fulfill his promise. And so I'm not going to waver. But I'm going to do as the Lord says, do. His heart was to sacrifice. But thank God the Lord didn't make him do it. He says the Lord will provide his own sacrifice. And he did. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for us, that we might live. John chapter 13. This is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And in verse 3 it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You might ask me, why would we read this scripture? I think about Peter's response when Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. He says, no, you will not wash my feet. Because it was degrading. It was shameful in Peter's mind to have their Lord wash their dirty feet. It was shameful in Peter's mind to have the Lord lower himself to that state. So I look at that as a form of Jesus' sacrifice. He sacrificed his reputation. Philippians 2 and 7 says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became a servant. Not just a servant to them, but a servant to all. And I call that a sacrifice. It says that he knew. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands. He did it knowingly. He sacrificed. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 2 to 4. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? What was his sacrifice for? We talked about it earlier. A sacrifice is giving up something valued for something that's more valuable. Why did he sacrifice? It says that it was for the joy that was set before him. I have to believe that the joy that was set before him was us being in his presence for eternity. Our salvation, our deliverance. It was more valuable than his life. More valuable than his reputation. More valuable to him than his status. More valuable than being liked. He was hated, despised, and rejected by those he loved as well. Luke 22 and 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Back to what the brother said. He gave his body all the way into the cross, into death, and suffering, and affliction. They whipped him and beat him, humiliated him for us. He sacrificed that we might dwell with him for eternity, the joy that was set before him. John 15:13 says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life. He laid down his reputation. He laid down his will in the garden when he said, Nevertheless, Lord, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He sacrificed. Jesus is our example. I thank God for the sacrifice that he gave. I thank the Lord that he went through what he did for us. And that he set the example for us and how to be and how to sacrifice too. How can we offer unto God what costs us nothing? Jesus paid a high price for our salvation. And you know, sometimes I wonder if people don't take it for granted. And I'm not trying to say that's here, but I'm saying that people take it for granted. They act like they got a cattle on 1,000 hills. That sacrifice is cheap. That it doesn't mean anything. That it just keep sacrificing it. It's all good. Just keep bringing that next lamb. Cheapening what God has done. The sacrifice was valuable. It meant something. It was his only begotten son who they spit upon and beat and humiliated. The Son of God. It was not just an invaluable sacrifice. It was very valuable. We serve a living God. As we heard this morning, may we worship the Lord for what he's done for us. But you know, there's a cost for us to pay. Count the cost, it says in the scriptures. Count the cost. What is the cost for us? Jesus paid the sacrifice. It was his blood shed. It wasn't our blood that's not going to do it. Our blood won't purify us. Our blood won't save a soul. It was by the blood of Jesus Christ that men and women are delivered. So what is our sacrifice? What is our valued thing? How valuable is your soul? How valuable is it to be able to dwell in eternity with God? How valuable is that to you? How valuable is it to me? What am I willing to sacrifice for that? Great need. The poor widow had a great need. And she put in her 2 mites, all that she had. If she had more, I'm sure she would have put that in there too, because she had a great need. What is our need? And what are we willing to put in? Do we have to sacrifice? Deny self. We have to sacrifice. Mark 8:34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23 says daily. What will we sacrifice for the Lord? What will we sacrifice for the saving of our souls? What will we sacrifice for the salvation of our loved one's soul? Our child's soul? Our friend down the street's soul? What will we sacrifice for their souls? How valuable are they to us? How valuable is their soul? Romans 12. I'm afraid that these scriptures in some degree lose their meaning because so many times it's used, so many times it's read. But I think it's because they're so powerful and so important. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What I want to key in on this scripture is that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, I think about that verse, and when I was younger, I had fantasy ideas that somehow I was going to be a hero someday. You know, and I was going to run up and push somebody out of the front of a moving vehicle or something, and boom, I get killed in the process, but it's such a heroic feat, right? It's so significant and important and valuable. And I would have fantasies like that. But you know, this is a living sacrifice. You know, I think of it as being a great thing. It says, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I think that's very valuable. And certainly the Lord would want us to be willing and ready to give our life for Him. And I would think that many of us would probably imagine circumstances where people would say, you know what, we're going to kill you if you don't deny Jesus. Well, go on ahead and kill me then, you know. And thinking of those circumstances that are extravagant. And I'm gonna stand and they're gonna have to kill me because I'm just gonna serve the Lord and I'm gonna confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do what you will. And it's a heroic feat in our minds. And that is a sacrifice to be able to say, you know what, I'm gonna lay it down. I'm gonna serve God till the death. Many people did it. They were burned at the stake, crucified and tortured for that very thing, that they refused to not deny the Lord. But you know, the Lord wants us to be a living sacrifice, and that means that every day you sacrifice. Every day you deny yourself. Every day you deny your flesh. And say no. Sacrifice your body every day. Not to the grave, but sacrifice it unto God. And saying no to the flesh. Sacrifice your reputation. When people are talking about you, making fun of you, thinking that you're ridiculous in the way you believe, calling you evil because of the things that you trust in God for. Sacrifice. Not a one day, let's die today, but a living sacrifice. You're doing it every day. You're living for God. You're testifying to the Lord. You're standing for the truth every day as a living sacrifice unto God. The Lord wants us to be living sacrifices to Him. Can we sacrifice to God and it cost us nothing? I think the definition of sacrifice by itself says no, we cannot. It must cost us something, or it's not a sacrifice. I was thinking about it, and the truth of it is when we serve the Lord and we give Him our all, we consecrate our lives to Him, everything that we do in service to God is a sacrifice and takes sacrifice. For someone to come in here and clean this chapel, it's a sacrifice. Call it what you will, but it takes sacrifice. You have to deny something in order to come here to do that. When they prepare for an event, funeral, wedding, whatever it might be, and there's people cooking and there's people cleaning and there's people doing things, you don't think that takes sacrifice? They could be doing something else. I think about those who, Sister Nelda, I don't know how many calls she got through the day for prayer. You don't think that's a sacrifice? When she gets off the phone and she goes to prayer for you and for me and for different ones, people in California and West Virginia and wherever, and she's getting on her knees and sacrificing her time to pray. Everything is a sacrifice unto God. You know, and I think about the benefit that we gained from Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, His blood shed that we might be delivered and freed. We benefit from one another's sacrifices too. We benefit from each other when we lay ourselves down and sacrifice our time and our efforts and energies into the Lord. We each benefit from one another's sacrifice. And I think that that's meant to happen that way. It's all a sacrifice. You know, a lot of times I think we look at sacrifice and we think of it monetarily. They just want more of my money, you know? And money is a part of it, no doubt about it. There's a sacrifice in that. But there's so many other things that require sacrifice that are valuable and mean something. I think about the people who go and visit the sick, the elderly, the shut-ins, the people in prison. They go and they visit them. You don't think that takes sacrifice? Commitment? Consecration? It does. All of it is a sacrifice unto God. But you know, no sacrifice that we make, it all pales in comparison to what God gives in return. Not only do we get blessed from one another's sacrifice, the sacrifices you make, I receive benefit from it, a blessing from it. It's a blessing to come into a clean chapel. It wouldn't be very comforting to come into a raggedy chapel with papers all over the place and dust all over the place. I benefit from that. But you know, we benefit from our own sacrifice as well. For one, we get the knowledge and knowing that we're doing God's service. And that's valuable. But the Lord is going to bless you exceedingly abundantly. Luke chapter 6. So when you're sacrificing and people are making fun of you, laughing at you, thinking you're ridiculous for what you believe, calling you evil because of what you've trusted God for, in verse 22 he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." And I'll add this, that they did it to Jesus too. So rejoice in that day. Your sacrifice is not in vain. The cost that you pay when you give it all to God is not in vain. It's not too much. What you get back will far exceed whatever it is you can give to God. And He's faithful. You don't think He fulfilled the promises that He promised Abraham? You don't think He did exactly what He said He was going to do? He absolutely did. I thank God that we serve a faithful God, a loving God, one who sets the example and does it first. He sacrificed for us. And I pray that the Lord would help us to know that to sacrifice is okay. It's good. It's valuable. It's meaningful. And we can't serve God without it. Pray for me.